Welcome, everyone, to the Space Game Junkie Podcast. I, as always, am your co-host, Brian, and joining me, as always, is your co-host, Jim.
In space.
In space, with many voids. And returning, probably, I think, Paul, you're the only developer we've had back now.
This is our annual chat.
Yeah, right. Friends, you may remember Paul, one of the first Pauls out of the many Pauls we had on the show.
Yeah, we actually have a Paul of Fame now. And
we're working on it. I need to work on that. But Paul is the developer of Void Destroyer, which just found its way. Oh, my call graph thing died. Great. Whatever. Void Destroyer just found its way into Steam Early Access. So people are asking about it. People are talking about it. And I thought, hey, that was a great time to have Paul back because we had you on in June. Yeah, we had you on when they were doing the Kickstarter back in June, which was a successful Kickstarter, by the way, if I recall, which is awesome. And that was 6 months ago. So I think back then you were on iteration 11.
A little further, but yeah, close to there.
Something like that. And now you're on iteration 19.
Yep.
If I'm correct. Okay. And a lot has changed because I played a little bit before the last podcast. And I played a little bit after that. And then, you know, ooh, shiny. I got distracted by everything. And, you know, since we're going to talk about it and it came on Steam, I revisited it to see how much has changed. And holy crap, a lot has changed.
A bunch of facelifts.
Yeah, a lot of. But for people who don't know what Void Destroyer is, it's kind of a mix between, I'm going to say Homeworld and maybe a little bit of something like, oh God. I don't want to say Independence War, but that's the closest thing I can think of.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was going to.
Yeah, that's the closest thing I can think of is Independence War. So you have a third-person view of whatever ship you're in. You control fighters and you control capital ships. And you can have turret views in the capital ships and all that stuff. And you can control the fighter and the ship, or you can have the crew do it. Or you have a tactical view in which you give everything orders and you have a base and you build stuff. So it's a multi-pronged game. And that's a lot to juggle. So
it's complete insanity.
It really is. And there is a lot to it. I mean, I was going to say earlier, it really harkens back to games of the 90s and maybe early 2000s where the interface, you had to work with it. It was not everything was simple. Not everything was, not everything was not intuitive, but it didn't hold your hand. Like a lot of games these days.
It's not WSAD and the mouse button.
A lot of games simplify things. A lot of games hold your hand. A lot of games streamline things. This game harkens back to a day where you had to work for your shit. And it's kind of refreshing.
And you know what? I try to simplify things. It's funny because
I don't see how you can.
Okay. That's the thing, right? So even like the way you're describing the game is so funny because if you ask people that play the game for like 10 hours, 20 hours, whatever, if you ask like five different people, they'll give you five different answers. They'll be like, oh, you know, it's a little bit of a space sim and a lot of an RTS. Or it's, oh, man, it's like it's all space sim and there's like a little bit of RTS, you know?
Yeah.
It's just crazy. They'll be like, oh, it's like Freelancer except you got Newtonian physics, you know? Right. Oh, it's like Homeworld but the backgrounds are dark, you know?
Someone actually says that.
People say that all the time. Oh, my God. It's kind of crazy. I'm like, God damn it. I know they're dark.
Yeah, I'm finding that I'm playing the game a lot more on the tactical map screen than I am in the ship itself. Like it,
and this is the beauty of the game. This is the beauty of the game. Okay. And I'm really actually happy about this. As strange as it may seem,
right?
Because this is the game where you can play how you want to play it.
Yeah. I just wasn't expecting it to be that because, you know, we'd seen a lot of in the ship stuff and I knew that you could switch ships and, you know, and play in from whichever ship perspective you wanted. But I wasn't expecting like a Homeworld style, like you get on the map, you zoom out, you lasso your dudes, say get in a formation with this ship, and then I jump into the ship that I put them in formation with, and, you know, I'll fly that one, and that way I'm leading the other guys. and such.
To me, this was always something that was missing from like X-Wing and the X Games and Freelancer and Wing Commander. I'm always like, you know what, guys, let's go this way, and you guys attack that guy, and you know we'll attack this guy while I change over to a cap ship for a little bit.
Right.
You know.
So how far into alpha mode are you here? Because it's still alpha, right? You're not beta yet.
Well, I call it beta. I called it beta once Kickstarter was over.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really matter. You know what I mean? It's kind of, I hope that this game is like never finished. Put it this way, you know? I hope that like in 10 years, I'm like adding a mode where you like shoot a grappling hook at another ship or something.
Oh, that'd be great.
You know what I mean? Like I hope it'll probably take me 10 years to get there too.
Right.
But, you know, obviously I hope to release the finished version, sooner than later, you know?
Of course.
But in those terms, I hope the game is not finished. So calling an alpha or a beta, personally, I call it a middle beta where most of the features are in. They just need a bunch of polish. You know, certain ones are done. Certain ones need a lot of polish. The fun part is that really, if you ask a player which ones are done, which ones need a lot of polish, nobody's going to say the same thing. Even if you ask me, I'm going to be like, oh, man, I don't know. You know, whatever, when I play, I'm like, okay, that needs improvement. But certainly a lot of the AI needs a lot of polish. The sound needs a lot of polish, need a bunch more story content, a few other things, right. You know, the user interface, the UI, the HUD, the GUI, tactical mode, a lot of that needs a lot of polish, you know, so I would call it like middle beta.
My question is, how far would you say, because if people have listened to the last podcast, how far has the game come since we last talked? Since like what has been added? What has been changed? How far has the game come since last six months?
In fact, so much, man, my memory is so fried. But the dramatic thing is that after Kickstarter, you know, I finally didn't have to worry about spending my own bank account, watching my bank account be really low to the point where I'm like, oh, I'm going to be late on some credit cards, you know, so after Kickstarter, I just didn't have to worry about that at all, you know, which was really great. Incredible benefit. Just something you can not worry about is just incredible, you know, to a person like me. So then I'm like, okay, let's get some art, you know, let's get some HUD, let's get some GUI, let's get some visual effects, you know, and I found a great visual effects guy. And I've always been meaning to do some of these things, but it was just really great to say, hey, how much, you know, send him some money, see the result, put it into game. And this is how you're seeing all these cool visual effects where there's like outlines. And when the command ship gets hit, you see like these little pings of damage. There's like the speed lines when you hit the afterburner. So all these little cool polishing touches, you know,
right.
All those things are just some really cool stuff that was added. Command mode, the glowiness, and command mode and tactical mode. I'm sorry, things like that. You know, so a lot of this stuff that doesn't make the game look cheap essentially kind of gave it a facelift.
Now, where did the whole cell shading thing come from? Because I don't remember that from the last time I played.
It was always in the back of my mind that cell shading
because it looks super cool. You can kind of tell. I dig it.
That's awesome. Now, here's the thing about cell shading. Kind of jumping off what Jim said. Some people love it. Some people hate it. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
It's kind of risky. If you go with like the regular art style, you know, people are going to be like, okay, there it is. You know, nobody's going to be like, usually when you look at a game like X Rebirth or some other really awesome looking games, like Elite is going to be in Star Citizen. You're going to see, so you're going to say that looks gorgeous. You know, there's no doubt about it, but that's kind of about it. You know, when you throw in cell shading, well, you can like it, you can love it, you can hate it. You know, there's a little bit of a twist to it. There's a little bit of unique indiness to it, risk taking, you know.
That's true.
So that's kind of cool. And it's unique. Nobody's going to say like, oh, man, that game looks like Kinetic Void or Limit Theory or Star Citizen or Elite Dangerous. Nobody's going to say that, which is kind of a good thing, kind of a bad thing, right? Because those are really awesome games. But they're going to say that looks like Void Destroyer, you know. Nobody's going to confuse this game for some other game. So that's a really cool benefit of that. So the cell shading was always kind of intended. If you look at the textures, they're always kind of this low resolution textures. And people are always like, are these the final textures? Are they going to be upgraded? Kind of always drove me a little bit nuts, you know. I'm like, that's the look, you know. that's what it looks like. That's it. And then if you add the cell shading and you add the outline, then it's all completed, you know?
Yeah, and I noticed you have a mode in there that's, you know, you can turn the cell shading off, or you can have the cell shading without the like cartooning texture on the ships. Or if you want to go the other extreme, you can turn the cell shading up to like melt my face. And
Exactly. Where even particles are outlined, which was actually an accident. That was an accident while trying to debug it. And then I left it in the game because I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. You know, I don't think everybody ever saw particle effects being outlined and explosions being quote unquote cell shaded. So I left it in just for the hell of it. But that accident led to the current look because we kind of refined that accidental look into this one. So it was kind of funny story.
No, I dig it, man. It's just that I was like, when I first got into the first tutorial, I was like, whoa, that's new.
You know, post Kickstarter, I was like, okay, well, let's, you know, focus on the story, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I added a bunch of story missions. There's a boss fight and there's these other elements in there. And then Greenlight, I finally got greenlit. And now I'm like, God damn it. You know, I want to go on early access. I want to get the ball rolling. So then I'm like, well, let's focus on the very early beginning of the game. Let's make that as polished as possible.
That's fair. You know?
So in the beginning, you're like seeing the mining ships. You're seeing like the ship drag an asteroid over to like the mining area. You're seeing cargo ships pick up cargo pods and carrying them over. You know, the pirate attack, they actually try to steal cargo pods now. They don't just like come out to get slaughtered. That sort of a thing, you know, where there's like these transport ships that come out and try to steal out. I try to make the game world kind of have a reason to it, you know. Whereas behind the scenes, that first pirate attack where those red guys show up.
Yeah.
In game, that's kind of a tutorial, you know, like, hey, this is actual combat. You should know how to do this before you keep going, you know.
That's true.
That's kind of the reason for it in the game. But at the same time, I wanted to give the pirate a reasons for coming in, like to steal cargo pods. So those types of things is where I went, you know, adding a bunch of music, bunch of different sound effects for user interface. That's what was the focus between Kickstarter and now.
Yeah, and I want to talk to you. I'll let you guys finish about the graphics and stuff, but I wanted to talk about the sound design stuff because there's some things that I noticed in there and some things that I assume are coming because I'm not seeing some things that I'm kind of expecting. So, but, it's still alpha, right? So, you know.
Alpha beta. Alpha beta.
Like in the AAA world, it would be an alpha, you know. For the indie, it's a beta. You know what I mean? Maybe even in the AAA world, it will be a pre-alpha.
Yeah, well, I guess the line of demarcation is once it's actually, you know, it's on Steam, it's available for purchase right now. So when you're early access like that, then everybody's got it. So, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, I guess you'd say that's beta then. But, it's one of the things that I'm seeing. Like, I wasn't expecting, you know, voiceover stuff on the tutorials and that. It would be nice, but it's not necessary. But the stuff that I'm kind of – that I note that's interesting is that the sounds of combat in space are kind of muffled, right? Because, you know, you're in space and there's not really a lot of sound. In fact, none. But, you know, for gameplay concessions, you have to have that so that you know what's going on.
If somebody wants to be a purist, they can toggle sound off.
Yeah. Well, I think it would be interesting to have a mode where
you can mute it, right? There's an option.
I think it would be interesting to have a mode where you can only hear your own ship. Like when you get hit, you hear it. And when you shoot, you hear it.
You could mod that really easily just by changing the distances of the sound.
Oh, cool.
Just make it really like 100 units and have it, you know?
Yeah, so the other thing that I noticed, I couldn't figure out what the heck it was at first, and I don't know if I was toggling into the time dilation. Are there times, because what it does this cool heartbeat sound, you know, and you hear a heartbeat slow down when you go into time dilation, and then the heartbeat, you know, picks back up whenever you get out of it.
So there's a cool story with that. And that's another feature that was added. Thanks for reminding me.
I was wondering if
the cool story with that is, you know, the game always needed a pause, right? Because there's too many things going on. So I'm like, hey, sound guy, my really great sound guy. I'm like, hey, I need a pause. How about like a heartbeat slowing down? you know? And he gave me that sound, and I hit that sound button, but the game froze instantly, you know? But the heartbeat was, like, slowing down. And I'm like, that's a disconnect. You know, that's not working. And it got me thinking, hey, why should it be a total pause? You know, what would be cooler than that? How about just make it very slow? And then you have that heartbeat slowing down. You have the heartbeat happening every 3 seconds or something. And then you have it speeding up. It's perfect, you know? And it's a really great idea just because my sound guy gave me a sound effect that's a heartbeat slowing down. You know, how random is this? You know? That's like the whole game.
Well, it's nice because you can actually watch the bullets still fly. You know, you're technically paused.
I love it.
But things are still moving. So you can see who's shooting at who and who's going where. But it's not going so fast that you can't deal with the situation because it is very, very slow. So I kind of like that. What I was wondering about is, are there thresholds of, like, if your ship's taking damage or things that go on that it automatically drops into pause mode? Because I heard that heartbeat kick up a couple of times, and I don't know if I fat-fingered the F key or...
You did. There's no... But that's a pretty cool idea. That's not a bad idea of doing that, you know? Maybe an option or something, like if the command ship gets down to 40% or something... That's a pretty cool idea. Plus for cutscenes, I'll probably use that in there sometimes.
Oh, okay.
To slow things down.
Yeah, I just wasn't sure.
But no, that was you totally. Okay. That was you like smashing the keyboard, you know, in frustration probably.
It's like so many keys. What do they do? So.
And here's the thing about players. Okay, players are incredible. Okay, and there's so many big variety of players, and they're like, how do I pause? And I'm like, press the pause key. And they're like, where's the pause key? You know?
What?
And because they're on laptops, you know, it's something you don't think about. But they're on laptops. And to you and me, right? And to us, right? Brian, Jim, you know, we know what a pause key is.
Yeah.
You know, but somebody younger.
So rarely do games actually use that key that I forgot that it existed. So
you remember in like the Sega days, the Nintendo days, right? You hit the start button or the pause button, right?
Yeah.
We were trained like that, right? Then we got a keyboard and it's still there, you know? Like, why is this key on our keyboard? It's like almost never used in Windows, right? But it's still there. It's, yeah.
I do still run into games that use the darn thing. But, yeah, it is one of those legacy keys. Totally.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's incredible, you know? New players, younger players getting into the game, asking me where the pause key is. That's not something I was expecting.
Yeah. I guess the challenge that I'm having, well, the time that I've spent with the game, I'm continuing to discover things that it's not really brought up, in at least in the tutorial stuff that I played, where it's like when I'm in direct command mode of the ship, and you know, in F1, you just fly the ship. But you can actually, you know, you hit control and you get the mouse cursor back, and then you can actually turn crew control of the ship on, but still stay in that view. Then the view that I'm finding to be most useful is the F5 key, where you're in command, and it's like the turret command. But I can actually see, I was having a problem where what happens is I kind of wish, like, God, why didn't the game do this? And then I'll do something and I'll find out, oh, wait, no, the game does do that. You know, where I was like, I wish that I could just point at something and have my ship go, you know, because whenever you go to the...
You can!
I know, I found that out. So, but what
the tutorial mentions it, but there's just so much, you know what I mean?
The tutorials are pretty good, though, folks, just so you know. I mean, this is a fairly complicated game, but there are, what, half a dozen of them?
Yeah, there's like six or eight tutorials.
It's not even... The game is not even that complicated. You know, when you look at Void Destroyer... And then you're going to look at Rogue Systems. Void Destroyer is going to be like a kitty, you know, for like
that's a whole different level of complication.
Here's the waiting pool, Void Destroyer. You know, people are saying that Void Destroyer is complicated. Mm-hmm. Well, wait till you like play Star Citizen. I don't know, or Elite.
Well, what I found out in there.
It's just that these games are much more focused. Well,
what I found out was, you know, I'm in the turret control mode. And what I'm thinking is,
you can still fly.
Well, yeah, and that was the thing is, I'm like, well, can I still fly the ship in here? You know, how do I give control? Because if I could tell the ship, you know, like turn to the left, turn to the right, or set my throttle and that stuff. But it's kind of like, well, I had to go to the other mode to do that. And then what I found out was whenever I actually turn and click on a target, then the ship starts to pursue that. And it was like, oh, okay. You know, so I just, it's just an emergent thing. Like I'm continuing to discover behaviors in the game that it's.
And that's because when I was playing the game, I'm like, you know what? It would be good if this happened. It would be good if this happened, you know? So there's all these little things in there that try to help you. So the game, it seems like it's complicated, but it's kind of trying to make sense to try to stay consistent, you know, where certain things are automated for you. If you got the crew control on and you select the target, it's going to go after it, you know, because that's kind of what you would expect it to do.
Yeah.
Because you're in charge of it. You know, you're like, hey, here's this target. And the ship is like, okay, no problem. You know?
Yeah.
Let's get it.
So there's a couple of things that I wish for, though, in the since I have the pulpit, I'm going to demand it. But it's in the tactical map view. Like in Homeworld, you know, I'm used to the map in there. Well, I was used to it 10 years ago. But there were poles that showed elevation, right, off the plane of the map. And the problem that I'm having is in that first mission, when you have to go over to that asteroid base that's kind of far away, if I send my guys over there, I'm not sure how do I control the elevation that they go to, because they end up going under it because they're following the same elevation that they're currently on. And it's just there's I haven't discovered it yet, but I know that control's there.
There's a few things, Jim. So the easiest thing to do is if you just right-click on base.
Oh, because it'll change my focus to where I want to that, and then I can give them an order to go there.
Or if you just select your ships and right-click on the base, they're just going to go to the base.
Oh, okay, right.
You know, the other thing is the alt or the alt key, I believe, lets you change the elevation. But you're right. Like Homeworld, I think, had like elevation lines. Mm-hmm. I actually put those into Void Destroyer. I actually put those in, but then I removed them because they look super ugly.
Yeah.
So what I'll do, because it's not so much for me to decide some of these things.
Yeah. Like,
is I'll leave it as an option.
Yeah, just like a checkbox down in the bottom corner, turn them on, turn them off, and
in the options menu, you can even see them in the battle editor. Mm-hmm. You'll see that those lines are in there because I left them in there because I don't care how ugly that looks.
Well, I don't think I would send. I'd send people.
And then
into the options.
The other thing I have to do,
I would do it like as a checkbox right on the interface, because that way I don't have to
too many checkboxes.
Well, I like checkboxes.
Yeah, there already is quite a bit on the interface already.
There's already a lot of stuff in there. I got to take some stuff out of there. But what I'm going to do, Jim, is because what you're saying is very, very true, and I hear it a lot, and even myself, I see this. I'm going to do some sort of a method where if you put your mouse cursor over an object, let's say a base, then it will change to that elevation. Mm-hmm. And then when you right click somewhere off to the side, it will go to that elevation, you know, just to help the player out.
Okay.
Because I would love that myself, you know, because I play the game like all the time, you know, mm-hmm. and usually I'm frustrated by the same things you guys are. Not always, because, you know, sometimes I know every single little thing about it, you know, but certain things are just like universal where I really wish that would be in there too.
Yeah. That
elevation is pretty huge.
The only other thing that I really wish for at this point is for situational awareness. If there was some radio chatter from the other ships, as far as like when the base launches, you know, there's a sound effect for that. So I've learned what that is. But as far as my wingmen, you know, the other ships that I have out there, when they come under attack. If I'm not looking at the tactical map or I'm not reading the text up at the top of the screen, I don't really know what's going on. So, it's a thing for like polish toward the end of beta, right? But, you know, to just have some generic radio chatter in there
what's funny is that you're absolutely right. And in that trailer, that cinematic trailer, there's like a little blurb of like radio chatter. Towards the middle of the trailer, and I'm asking my music guy, hey man, that sounds awesome. What is that? You know, I want that, you know? And he's like, don't you remember I did those things for you and you rejected them? So I have to look back at my folder for the sounds and put those in, the little radio chatters. And, you know, when you issue a command, or that's a great idea about when they're under attack.
Yeah.
You know,
what you could do too is like some of your Kickstarter funder people or something. If you need voice actors for voices, right? Because it doesn't have to.
I don't want actual voices though. I want it to be like indistinct sort of
I like that.
Because you know what?
It makes it kind of creepier.
But maybe if they're like professionals, you know, like a British lady with a really nice accent or something. Like
Susan Boyle.
Or some Australian guy. Yeah.
Well, that, maybe. Well, what I was no thinking though is if you take a voice saying that, and then whenever the general thing for like fighter chatter, right, is there's so much of a radio noise to the voice that you put like a distortion filter on it anyway. So you wouldn't have like these really crisp voices that, you know, it's like you'd kind of, I don't know, it would be almost like,
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. But anyway, just something like that. So you could almost take anybody's voice and bend it a little bit and put some static on
it. I really have to do that. I've been actually meaning to look at that, my sound folder from my music guy. Cause ever since that trailer, I'm always like, God damn it. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, because it would be really nice to know, like, you know, the base is under attack or something like that, and it'll kind of snap me out of, like, I'm having so much fun, like, spinning the turret around and shooting dudes, and then it's like, base is under attack, sir. And it's like, oh, yeah, I got to go back to the map and actually do business.
That was really good. Did you guys notice, kind of changing topic here, in the trailer how I'm, like, slamming Elite and Star Citizen? No, nobody noticed that. Nobody noticed my super awesome Star Citizen and Elite Dangerous slam.
No.
Right at the end of the trailer.
I don't think I watched the whole thing. I watched a little of it, and then I'm like, ah, oh, it looks good. And then I moved on to something else.
I should have put in the beginning.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the one.
Right,
is that the top one? On whenever I go to the site, there's two YouTube videos. Is it the one that's above or below? Because the one that's above is the one that I linked on Facebook.
Yeah, it's the first one, pretty sure. Yeah, or on the cinematic trailer, right at the end of it, I throw my little dig.
You should have put that at the beginning.
So the other thing that I noticed that you're being really good about is in the Steam forums, you're really active in there talking to people that are playing the game. And, you know, if people have suggestions or are just bewildered, you know, you jump into almost every thread and straighten it out. So
sometimes I think that's kind of a bad thing. And let me explain that before, you know, because it sounds obviously like it's not. But sometimes I think that might be a bad thing in these terms where I'm like answering things definitively. You know, I'm not letting the community kind of grow as much, sort of like answering each other and debating things. So sometimes I'm kind of wait around. I'm like, OK, is this going to get answered by somebody else? Like maybe from a player might come off better even. Than from me, you know, explaining certain things, because a player might be able to explain it better than I can because of my bias, you know. But as far as the support, I'm like, I can't imagine not doing it, even though it's taken up an incredible amount of time. I mean, I was not ready for how much time this would take up, but I can't imagine not doing it because it's like, I know it's not people's life savings that they're spending, you know, but I know how invested people get in a game. And that it works, and that it does what they want, and that's kind of even the whole point of early access is that you get to get into a game earlier, and you get to say like, "Hey, I like this. What about this? What about that?" You know. So I try to enhance that as much as possible. The only problem is, you know, I got swamped by all these issues, and I don't have as much time to like look at all these cool suggestions. You know, so I'm like keeping a list of all these things. And I'm trying to get to them because, you know, when you get so many players, you get a lot of cool suggestions out of them.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So what are you – where are you at in development right now? Are you adding features or you're chasing issues or what?
So my crazy optimistic goal was to be doing polish and bug fixes during the weekdays and working on content during the weekends.
What happened?
And it sort of kind of works, but there's some spillover, you know?
Right.
So I do a lot of bug fixes, pretty much all the crash bugs I try to do just right away. The content, I got kind of mired in that over the weekend because I had to prepare another ship, a mining ship. What I got just wasn't working for the game. It was so close, but just not there. It just didn't look right. So I spent like the weekend just like fighting it. I almost like threw it aside. Then yesterday I finally finished this mining ship that the player is going to need for the story, you know, to survive essentially because kind of a spoiler, I guess, but, you know, when you have your own base and it's this huge asteroid, right? Well, it makes sense that you're going to get ore out of it, right? But when you have a base that's not a huge asteroid, which you're going to get in the upcoming parts of the story, well, then you got to get some mining, right? You got to get some ore somehow.
Yeah.
So this mining ship was like so important to it. I'm just like fighting over it over this weekend, looking at every little pixel, you know, just wasn't working. So I just had to go a little different direction with it. But yesterday it finally clicked into place. So yeah, so that's what I'm trying to do, keeping this kind of a schedule of bug fixes and polish weekdays and then new content on weekends. I'm taking a lot of days off trying to stay on top of things and things like that. But the amount of work just went up. It kind of reminds me of Kickstarter days on crack.
You know? Well, yeah.
Just like multiply.
So you're developing full time, but you're also working a regular 9-to-5 job too?
Yeah, essentially I'm working two jobs.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And there's really nothing else I'm doing at all except eating occasionally, you know?
Yeah.
But actually, I do a lot now that I think about it. I do eat a lot.
So are you a programmer for your day job, or what do you do if you can get into that a little?
No, I'm a IT manager. Mm. I manage myself. Essentially, I'm the only guy. I'm the IT manager.
I've worn those shoes. That's...
As the lackey, you know, I tell myself what to do. Fix this, goddammit. You know? So my day job is where I rest for my love job, as I like to call it. You know, a void destroyer. I gotta rest up and then sleep as little as possible, I guess.
I did have a couple questions going back to the game. Can you add something for me? Something that's kind of been ticking me off a little bit. Can you add something? Is there a way you can add it so when you go to your saved games, the most recent one is at the top?
You know, it's supposed to be, but it's buggy. It's buggy.
Because I'm trying to finish I'm still on the first mission because I'm still figuring things out. I'm still on the first mission. I just built a frigate shipyard. Yay. And I saved it. It auto-saved. And then I'm like, which save is it? There's like 30 of them, and three of them are named. There's like three different ways they're named, and oh my god, yeah. But you know about that one, okay? Good.
Yeah, I have to fix that bug because it's supposed to. The newest one is supposed to be on top, and for the most part, they are. You know, but sometimes the auto saves are like so close together that my formula for comparing the date stamps is off. But they're going to be within minutes of each other. You know,
right?
Because auto saves triggers every minute. Well,
that's good.
Yeah, it's definitely good.
Because one minute you could be like, oh, I'm building stuff. The next minute,
Great watching you guys play. Let me put it this way. I get so much enjoyment out of it. Like, just for that, it's worth it. You know?
Well, my other question was, because I'm doing this first mission, I'm spending most of it in tactical mode, you know, trying to gain resources and stuff. I'm letting the ships fight themselves. Would it work in reverse? Like, if I stayed in ship mode and you have these objectives like build a frigate shipyard and build these frigates and do that. If I stayed in ship mode, would the AI do that or do I still have to jump back and forth?
No, the AI, you're the AI.
Okay. I see. All right.
That's the design of the game where you're in charge.
Right.
For the enemy, you know, that's what they do. Yeah, and sometimes, and a lot of people are kind of like, oh man, I wish I could, you know, play it as just a space sim, or man, I wish I could just play it as a real time strategy. But it really is a mix, you know?
Right, okay, that makes sense.
There are some base elements that are pretty much necessary, like building a shipyard, you know, and building ships.
So there is like an in-game lore style AI, like when a ship is doing something. Like to the game, that's the AI, but in the lore of the game, that's the crew doing it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. So the crew is going to respond. You know, you saw them like respond to attacks and things like that.
Right. But they're not going to do the big meta jobs that I'm supposed to be doing.
They're not going to go and they're not going to attack by themselves. You know.
Ah.
Because they would do it in a terrible way, and you would be cursing them out. You know? You'd be like, you idiots, you guys attacked that guy.
You're probably right.
So that's left up to you, you know. You're the AI. That's the nice thing about time strategy elements is that you get to be, you know, issuing orders to them, and they should obey you relatively well, you know, which needs to be improved still a little bit.
Right. In a lot of ways, this reminds me of a really old flight sim called 1942 Pacific Air War. Did either of you guys play that one?
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't think so.
So you know what I'm talking about, Jim. The you had an Admiral mode. And in the Admiral mode, you were in control of like a carrier fleet. And you could tell the fleet what to do and where to go. And you could set up flights.
Mm-hmm.
But when the flight found something or engaged in combat, you can jump into a plane.
Right.
And fly that plane and then jump back out. And be the Admiral again. So that's like the closest approximation I can.
You're telling me I ripped off 19.
No, I'm not. I'm not saying you ripped off. I'm saying if anyone remembers that game and wants that in space, this is your shit, right? That's what I'm saying.
That's the thing, right? So it's, there's some percentage of players, I've always wanted both, you know?
Right.
And for them, this game is like manna from heaven, right? And there's everybody else was kind of like, okay, these are kind of cool, you know. These are some cool concepts, and they enjoy it. But there's like that rare, I hope not too rare, player. Like, oh my God, this is the best thing ever, you know.
Yeah, I'm liking it, but I think I missed something. Either I missed something in the tutorial or something wasn't fully explained real well. Because, like, for a while in the first mission, like, I wasn't doing anything. Like, I couldn't build anything. I'm like, what the hell is going on? I didn't know I had to go into my base and, like, slide things so more crew people would mine ore and more people. I didn't know that.
You don't have to do that. And you're right. It's not explained anywhere, you know? You don't have to do that. But you don't need as much food, you know, as they're making. So you can, you know, kind of say, hey, guys, you know, we're going to go a little lean now on the food supplies. So we make more ships, you know. And then usually you have more energy than you have ore. So you can slide energy down as well. Okay. So that's left up to the player. You know, if the player wants to control that, there's not a whole lot of like this resource management in the game. Mm-hmm. You know, those sliders are basically it. And in the future, you might get some trading and some resource sharing and things like that.
Ooh, that's exciting.
But, oh, you're going to hate it. Let me tell you. If there's something that I put in the game, there's going to be some sadistic reason why you have to do it.
Well, I love trading and stuff like
that. Is there a population?
You're going to be like,
is there a population cap on how many pilots you can have in space? Because I notice, like, I'll build up to so many ships and then it stops. And then I'll get a guy killed and
there's
a cap. Okay.
There is a cap. The reason there's a cap, there's two reasons. First of all, the game would crash because it would run out of memory, which is what happened a lot during Kickstarter days. And people are like, oh my God, I'm crashing all the time. And I'm like, okay, is it a bug? That's a legitimate bug? Or is it just because you're building too many ships and you run out of memory? You know, so I had to put that cap in there, unfortunately. When you capture a base, that cap increases, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that makes
sense. So do you spend more population on a larger ship?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Oh, no. So you have, like in World of Warcraft and Starcraft, I believe you had like accounts, right? So this ship is worth three guys or something, you know? It's not how it is in Void Destroyer. It's like, okay, you get, four frigates, you know, per base, let's say, and 10 fighters per base. And then if you capture another base, you might get another four or something, you know? So you have like these kind of slots. So you don't just build all cruisers.
Oh, okay, great.
You know, you just have just a bunch of cruisers flying around. So it's exactly like Homeworld in that case, where Homeworld had like unit caps per ship class, you know, where you kind of have to do a balanced force. You're kind of forced to that. The other reason for having a unit cap is game balance, you know, because the game, you know, it's a little hard, I guess you could say. The first challenge is the interface. Once you get around that, then the AI is doing its own thing. But if there was no unit cap, you would just keep building ships and you would just win everything. You know, it would not even be a contest unless I put no unit cap on the enemy, and then the game would just be.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. Crew members are not an infinite resource, you know, so it makes sense that you only have so many to fly so many ships.
Well,
there's certain things that just for gameplay reasons you have to do, you know, and unit cap is one of them. And it's really moddable, you know, it's just going into a text file, changing it from 4 to 7 or 10 or 100, you know.
Right.
Well, it's really modern.
Well, I like that.
So for the future,
I like that it actually forces a diversity in your fleet, so that you don't just have you don't go with a Zerg rush of fighters, you know. Versus, so it's like, you know, I'm gonna have some cap ships of each class by the time I get there, you know, and it's for a reason.
And some people like that, you know, and I like that too. And there's some people who just want to have a million fighters, you know. And when you make a game, you just have to make a choice. You're like, okay, what kind of a game are you making? Okay, I'm making this type of a game. But then modding comes along where you can change whatever value you want, you know. But it's incredible how different people like different things, you know. And you can't really please everybody. And there's a lot of good suggestions flying around, but it's like, oh, it's not really that type of a game. You kind of have to say that once in a while. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good because you don't want to have a game designed by committee. You know, I mean, it's your baby.
Yeah, you have to pick out the best ideas, you know, because there's so many. There's a never ending supply of good, even good ideas, you know, and then you multiply that by 100 for bad ideas, you know. So even for the good ideas, you'll never run out of those. You can always refine the game.
Right. So basically right now you have the instant action mode, you have the tutorials, and you have the at least whatever portion of the campaign you've worked on.
Right.
Like I said, I put about 3 hours in and I feel like I'm barely hitting the tip of the iceberg, which is really nice actually.
The game speeds up a lot. Once you get down the you know, the basics, the game speeds up a lot, you know, which is kind of how every game does it.
And
I think it's actually a good thing because once you learn how the game plays, it should be kind of like, okay, here comes the fun, you know, let's just do some crazy giant battles, you know, and there's still a bunch of challenge going on, but it definitely speeds up. Like after you get that hill, the difficulty just, I think, drops really, you know. And then it kind of says, hey, I'm difficult, but in a good way, where if you do, if you make bad choices, you're going to get punished. Sort of like that. You know, if you fly into a minefield, you're going to die, essentially. If you stand still and, something huge is coming your way, you're going to die. You know, there's these elements that the game sort of teaches you. But other than that, It should be like you should be on the edge of the cliff, you know, going down. I think, Brian.
Have people already started making mods for this thing?
There's one person I know of that doubled all the health for the ships, and that's fine. You know, to me, it's kind of like I really there's so much firepower in the game that ships don't last a long time, and that's something I need to work on.
They don't. Oh my god, they don't.
But if you put one ship against another one ship, you know, that's where I tend to look at the balance, how long that fight takes, you know. So it's this challenge, you know, because you make a space sim and usually they have like Wing Command, right? Or even X-Wing and TIE Fighter that you're playing right now, right? You get like a wave of three ships against you, right?
Yeah.
And you can manage that, right? And then in Void Destroyer, you get like 10 ships coming at you, right? And you got 10 ships of your own. And that's just the fighters, you know? So
right.
I really made this game that's just really tough to balance.
That's fair.
I really shot myself in the foot here, you know? Kind of like, okay, let's give the player all these different ships. Well, now we have to make all these enemies.
Right.
Otherwise, the player's just going to steamroll everybody. So now that we have all these ships, all these enemies, things are going to blow up.
And you know, there's really nothing wrong with that because when have like opposing forces ever really been balanced, you know, like in history or whatever?
Well, and that's the thing where it's tougher on you because the enemy ships are not just clones of the player's ships. They're completely different animals. So,
yeah, which I like. I like that very much.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting where they actually make ships out of, we're going to strap some engines onto an asteroid and put some guns on it. And that's our ship. So,
and if you pay attention, like right in the beginning, you see the mining platform and it's launching these drones and they snag those rocks, you know, it kind of like gives you a hint like, hey, you seeing this? This ship just attached itself to a rock, you know, and then like a little bit later, there's a ship with a rock and a gun at it. You know, you like went that next step, you know. So I think that turned out really well, how that portion of the game kind of evolves.
Oh, yeah. No, the designs are really creative. I like the designs of the ships. I like the designs of the rock ships. You know, and you need to
play a little bit more, Brian, because once you get past this, that what you call the first mission, you're gonna see some crazy stuff.
Don't worry, I'm gonna. It's just gonna take me a while because I think I kind of because I wasn't producing anything really for a while, I don't think. I think I built too many ships, and then I used up all my resources, and then they got destroyed. They're like, wait, why can't I build anything now? Oh.
Okay. Are you upgrading your command ship? Because I see that people don't do that.
You can upgrade the command ship? What?
Yes, you can. Yeah.
It took me an hour to find the research button. So I was making fighters, and I'm like, now what? And then I was like, oh, my God, there's a research button. Ho! And, it was happy time.
I'll be honest. I did a little bit. I did, like, 3 upgrades, and then I forgot about it for a while because I was like, oh, shit, why am I not building anything? And then I, like, forgot I could do that. And then I went back, like, last night, and I was, like, playing a little bit, and I'm like, oh, yeah, there's all this stuff on the command ship I still need to research, and it doesn't have any energy. I need to get some from the base, and oh, fuck.
The thing is, the game sort of treats you like you're that rank already. Like, you know everything, you know what I mean? And it's kind of good and it's kind of bad, because for a new player, it's kind of bad.
Yeah.
Because it's like, hey, man, you're in charge. Here you go, you know? If you're dead, it's because you fudged something up, right? Even though you don't really know what it is.
I kind of like that because, again, what I was saying earlier, I think there might be a little too much hand-holding in games these days, you know? And I get it, but I kind of like that you're like, oh, here's some deep water. Go! You know? Swim!
And if you kind of look, I'm kind of preparing you, you know, because I kind of do that tutorial in the beginning, but it's just kind of like, let's get to the game, you know?
Right. But you still got to remember. But you're given all these balls, but you got to remember to juggle with all of them. You know, you can't.
The problem is there's so many, like, right in the beginning. You know, you got to remember, like, all the tutorials and that little mini tutorial. You got to remember all the keys.
Yeah.
While you're in combat, you know?
You know what you got to give people when they get the game? You got to give. Remember how old games would come with that keyboard overlay?
Yeah.
Like the old Microprose games and shit would come with the fold-out keyboard overlay. They just went right over your keyboard and it had all the keys. That's what you need to have, like a PDF one that people can print out and then cut up.
Problem is, it's always changing. I'm always adding keys. just this week, I added Shift F5. To toggle primary weapons in command mode because you couldn't do that before. And a player's like, hey, I can't fire this gun in this ship. I'm like, oh, God damn it. I forgot to do that.
I didn't see this in the game. Is there a button you could press that gives you a list of all the commands?
If you in the control mapping menu, kind of gives you that.
Oh, okay. Well, here's in TIE Fighter reminded me of this. There's a button you press. It's like, I think it's K, where you just hit it and boom, there's a list of every command.
Well, not only that, Brian, but if you I would suggest that you pause the game before you do it. But if you hit Control to get your cursor, there's a Help button down in the lower left, and if you hit that, it brings up a list of the keys that are applicable to whatever mode you're in right then.
Is there? Yep.
There's a little bit of text. It kind of helps you out. But I have to make like a really nice dedicated in-game help system. You know, really pretty graphics and overlays and things like that. It's like at the last. At the end of the list, which is kind of crazy when you think about it.
You know? No, actually, it's not. Actually, it's not. I kind of love
it. Sound effects were like the last thing, and they added so much. You know, and I smacked my forehead, and then I finally added, like, this is so awesome. You know, why did I wait so long? But yeah, there's just so many things going on. It's incredible.
And I'm not saying this in a bad way at all. I love that there's so much going on. I love that it's complicated. I love that, you know, you have to remember all these keys. Because it reminds me of a time where games came with 200-page manuals. And, like, 2 or 3 of the last pages were all the list of the keys. And, you had to pay attention to all this. I kind of love that.
Except there's no manual.
So I just had a thought. If you have it give you alerts, right, even a text alert and a little sound, you know, before the voice stuff gets there, of like ships saying, hey, we're under attack now or something. Well, you can switch ships in the game, but I'm not always sure which ship was the one, you know, or who's in trouble right now. So, like, if you go to the switch, to the ship switching screen, or even it, like from just any mode that you're in, if there is a key that you could hit that would actually drop you into the ship that just announced the alert.
Yeah, a lot of RTSs have that. It's pretty awesome. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, usually it's like the space bar or something real simple where an alert comes up, boom. You know, oh, I'm at that area on the map that's something's happening. Or I'm at that. Right. Yeah.
The only other thing that that I've kind of run into is on the whenever you're in the tactical map, there's a mouse acceleration thing. And I don't know if it's just my particular mouse or what, because it's either like really slow or so fast I can't, you know. So
as far as zooming or moving or rotating, well,
zooming in and out could be like more accelerated, because I've got a Logitech mouse that I don't have to click the mouse wheel, so I can just spin it. It free spins, and I spin to try to zoom out to where I can see enough of the map. Because like if I'm at my base and I want to send my guys over to their base, I have to zoom out like really far to even see where that base is.
Right.
And a lot of games, what they'll let you do is actually if you zoom out and then zoom back in, you zoom into the part of the map where the mouse cursor's at. So you could zoom out from your base and then zoom in on theirs.
Somebody
really
said
quick.
That. Somebody said that recently, that that's what happened. Who said that? I forget. But somebody mentioned that that's what Sins of the Solar Empire did.
That's the game I was thinking of, too. And it works super well there. Yeah. But it's a thing. You don't want to lose the granularity of being able to do it slow. So I don't know if, God forbid, another key, a modifier key or something, like hold down control while you're zooming to go really fast or something.
Alt, right button, middle button. That's what.
Well, that, or if I could just right click on the map and not give an order to a ship, but to actually just zoom in wherever I click or something. So,
like a sort of like a drag type of a thing.
Not a drag, but it's an instant thing. Like if I was on the map and I've got the map oriented to where I can see the enemy base, but it's in the distance and I'm not viewing from top down, but it's over there, but I right-click on the enemy base, then it would actually zoom the map over to that object that I'm...
Yeah, so the way you do that is you click it, and then you press the F key to focus on it.
Okay, because I knew that worked for my stuff. There. I didn't know if it worked for theirs, but that makes sense.
Yeah, it works for everybody.
Like I said, every moment of this game is discovering something about the interface, because the stuff, for the most part, is there. I just haven't found it yet. So,
so like, at the end of the game, you know, like, in 10 hours into it or 20 hours into it, whenever, you'll be like the most awesome, craziest battle commander, you know, ever. And then you'll beat the game, and then aliens will come by and they'll like recruit you to their space navy. You know what I'm saying? You'll give them the rank of like admiral.
Well, what you should do is at the end of the game, instead of saying the game's over, you just say, okay, that's the end of the tutorial.
Tutorial's over. Here's the real
because that's like Start. Like remember Startopia?
Send like 100 ships against you to kill you right away.
I was like 100 hours into Startopia, and they're still introducing new stuff. You know, and it's like that game just blows my mind. It's like the tutorial never ends in Startopia.
That's how like Grand Theft Auto is.
Oh, really? The new one?
Like I remember in San Andreas, like Grand Theft Auto, like 10 hours into the game, they're like, hey, here's how you ride a bike.
Yeah, exactly.
How you can buy a business, you know?
I'm really digging the game. I got to say, I definitely plan on playing more if I could tear myself away from Jumpgate, even for a little bit.
Yeah. Talk about games that are hard mode and just throw you into the fire. Holy crap. At least you don't have to manually dock in Void Destroyer, because I don't crash into the asteroid.
Oh, yeah. I remember watching those videos where like they would use that those afterburner giant things, and they would
flash fire
reverse thrust flash fires. They would like reverse thrust, like dock in a second, so they don't get player killed.
Yeah.
They would line up with the entry gate, flash fire toward the gate. I mean, or the docking thing, and then flash fire just enough.
Reverse,
In reverse. Okay. So they'd be slow enough that they'd be under the limit so they could just boom.
And right then, like, the everybody thing. Else, like, crashes into it just going normal speed.
Yeah. Oh, those.
Yeah, well, the show we did last week, actually, you might want to listen to, because we had, what was it, 6 or 7 people? From the old Jumpgate alumni of years ago, and they came on and they were telling all those stories. The one that I thought was awesome was about the big black invisible asteroid that was between the between the two jump points, and people would just mash into it because you couldn't see it.
Yeah.
So,
you didn't see it until it was too late. You were in a heavy tow. You twist around and gun it, and you'd be, you know, you're heavy, and you don't slow down very well, and you don't accelerate very well. So, yeah.
Well, you know, that's just mean, right? But it's memorable.
Yeah.
It's
yeah, exactly. It's memorable. Exactly. Exactly. And I like games that, like, sure, they can be frustrating, but anything that's challenging should be frustrating every once in a while.
You tell stories. And then years later, you tell a story about that asteroid, you know.
Exactly.
It still lives there, right?
And people are going to hopefully tell stories about Void Destroyer in many years.
Yeah.
Because I hope they're still playing it. I hope they're, like, still playing it, you know.
Well, you said in the last podcast this thing is very moddable, and you said in this podcast some people have already started modding it for, like, double health and stuff like that, and all you have to do is change the text file to do this. So, I mean, look at Skyrim, for God's sakes. That game is 2 years old, and because of mods especially, people are still – it's like the most talked about game on Reddit still.
Well, Brian is psychic, right? Because I was sitting here waiting for an opening to say, man, somebody needs to make Skyrim in space because
– Someday that'll happen.
Well, it's just like someday. I just got done with the Thieves Guild missions, right? And that's something –
Have you played Skyrim at all, Paul?
Yeah, you know what? I made the mistake of playing Dark Souls first. Now I can't play Skyrim anymore. I cannot play.
Because Skyrim's not hard enough. It doesn't, like, kick you in the nuts every 5 minutes.
No, it's the combat. I'm just swinging the axe and winning. I'm like, just like, I should be dead now. It's bloody
I did that wrong. I should be dead. You should be punishing me and laughing.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I always watch these videos of mods and all these awesome things, and I'm like, man, I gotta play it. And then I'm like, Jesus, I can't handle it, you know?
Oh, no.
Not enough time passed, you know, between Dark Souls. Man, I love that game. It's a great game.
I lost an easy 50 hours last week to Skyrim, and it's just like, I have played that game so much. Yet every time I pick it up, I do something else because I was like, well, I haven't ever done any of the Thieves Guild things. And then I'm like 50 hours down the Thieves Guild stuff, and I'm starting to get into the Dark Hand stuff. And I've done that. Yeah, and it's just like, God, you know, there's so much game there. I'm probably never going to see the whole thing. And then I've not even touched the expansions that I own.
And it's funny. Jim and I usually talk a lot during the week. About games and what we're playing and stuff. And I think last week was a week where we barely talked at all. Because every time I would look, you'd be in Skyrim.
Yeah, and then you'd see me in Skyrim and you'd be like, damn, I ought to play Skyrim. And then you'd be in...
Could you imagine multiplayer Skyrim? Oh my God.
I don't want that.
Oh, but it's coming.
No? I don't. It's coming. I don't want
I don't think it's going to be the same. But I think it's... It'll be interesting, though. And I just dabbled a little bit with Might and Magic 10, which is definitely a Might and Magic game.
And the fact that it hates you and slaps you in the face.
Yeah, it's a potion chugging simulator. Like that first dungeon, they're like, fight a boss spider that poisons you. And, you know, it was like,
oh, we got us.
Yeah, it was tough. But anyway, space.
But yeah, no, sorry. We were saying how mods could really add legs to a game, and that's why I'm saying Void Destroyer, you were saying, is very moddable. You know, and you said people can also add new campaigns and such like that, right?
People can do everything I can do as far as campaigns. But to talk about something maybe slightly more exciting or slightly more recent is I just like this week or Sunday, I added where you can shoot turrets and they take damage.
Oh, individual turrets.
Yeah, and this wasn't a big deal when the turrets were small, right? But now that the story's going forward, we have these giant turrets, giant guns, and you can fly into them. You can fly straight across them, which is just terrible, awful, right? So I added this in, and I'm like, you know what? I can use the same technology to have, like, a ship that has the spinning section. You know those ships like do the artificial gravity?
Yeah, like the ship in 2010.
Right, or Babylon 5.
Or Aliens, I think, right? Yeah.
So I can use the same exact piece of code to be able to attach a physical object to a ship that's not really colliding with it, but can applied with other things, you know? So in Void Destroyer, you're not going to see a ship like this. The design is a little different where, you know, the gravity is magical, right? But I can just change a few lines of code and now somebody can create a Babylon 5 mod where the thing actually spins around, you know? So I'm looking forward to that stuff, you know?
So what it should be is just like a giant spinning hammer and you just get up close and it whacks them. So
yeah, exactly.
That's what you need. You need a ship that just has asteroids on tethers and it just spins them around and it
like a morning
yeah,
star.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, I have a ship that can carry asteroids. I have ships that can drill into asteroids, although they're not really drilling into them, you know, but they have a giant drill, things like that. So there's going to be some crazy other ships coming up too.
Oh, I like that.
I don't know if you're gonna like it when it's drilling into
when it's against me. No, I might not like it as much, but I like the
keep playing, Brian, because you're like at the meat and potatoes of the game right now. You know,
right?
You're getting good stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, it's yummy. It's meatloaf. Like, I love meatloaf. Yeah,
you're like about an hour or two, depending on you know how things go, from like some dessert.
Ooh.
And then
dessert's my favorite part.
And then you're going to get a little bit of a smackdown. Oh, you know? But it's like a three-dimensional puzzle, basically.
Interesting.
Where you have to sort of, I don't want to spoil it for you, but it's like a three-dimensional puzzle, essentially, where there's no enemy ships at all. There's no enemy ships at all, but it's still challenging.
Nice. You know? And how much of the campaign would you say you finished?
I would
say
it's about one third to one fourth.
Nice.
But the thing is that the beginning is stacked. Just like right now, it might take you maybe, depending how much the interface fights you, it might take you between 5 hours or 10 hours to finish it. You know, 10 hours might be the long end, 5 hours might be the short end.
That's not bad.
But then, once you master the interface, the game is just going to become much easier, you know? And then you're kind of going to slide downhill. So the game is kind of stacked in the beginning. And I don't want to waste the player's time, you know what I mean? Some games kind of do that.
Right.
Where you're like, oh my God, not this again, you know? Oh, Jesus, I just fought these guys and here they come again. Oh, this is just stupid padding, you know? I'm not going to try to do that. I'm really going to try to avoid that.
Right.
So the other part of the game is just going to be like crazy insanity, battles, things like that.
So when you're finished the campaign, you also have these instant action.
So they're really meant to be played side by side with the campaign because what happens is, you know, like right now when you capture that base, when you finally defeat that base,
yeah,
you get to experience what happens between the two bases when you were not in that sector, when the player was going off and first found the command ship.
Oh.
Those guys were battling it out. You weren't there, but those guys were battling it out.
Right.
You know? Because before, when you left in the beginning of the game, you know, everything's nice. You got the shipyard. All these ships are flying around, right?
Right.
You come back, everything's wrecked, right? Well, the instant action is the scenarios are like a chance to play that, like what happened there, you know? And that's really a cool way of like telling the story, like filling in the gaps and also expanding gameplay and making it longer, you know? So that's just like really, you just want some combat, really quick, maybe 30 minutes. That's what that instant action scenario is going to be there for you, you know? And if there's like a boss fight, well, here comes an instant action scenario just for the boss fight. So you can just have fun with it.
And that's also where the battle editor is, I'm saying.
Right. And so those get unlocked as you play. Different scenarios. So when you capture a base, you might get a scenario about like a little backstory to it. And I hope to put more in there. So, you know, some things might happen and you might get an item or a ship, you know, inside the game story, right? And you're like, huh, I wonder how this guy got here, you know?
Oh.
And it unlocks a scenario where you're like, hey, now you get to play how you found that item or that ship, you know, that sort of a thing. So you kind of get a chance to play other characters, other portions of the game. You know, that's something I have to still work on and add content to. So there's going to be like, so it's going to be like a story and then the scenario is just kind of like little branches, you know?
Right. And then you'll be able to add new stories as well.
And players. Yeah. They can certainly add new ones, new maps and things like that, you know? And they've been requesting like, hey, what if I just wanted a skirmish mode of one base versus another base, you know? no story at all and just like that. So I'll probably add one in there just for those players that want it because it doesn't take too long. It's really almost copy paste from the mission, you know, copy the map, paste it, set up some research or whatever. And that's it, you know.
Right. Well, it sounds like the game is coming along just fine. Like I said, I've been enjoying what I've been playing, even though I've not been playing it as well as I'd like. That's my fault, not really the game's fault, I don't think. Because it's just, like you said, there's quite a bit of interface, quite a bit of stuff to do.
You know, like, I couldn't have done it any other way.
No, you couldn't have. To do all the things the game does, I can't see how you could have made this simpler without making the game itself simpler.
At that makes sense. I tried, and I'm like, I can't do it. You know?
Yeah, because then you're sacrificing your vision. You know, you're sacrificing.
At one point, I'm like, man, what if I just made a space scene? And I'm like, no, I couldn't do that. It's just impossible. You know? That's not what I wanted to make.
Right. That's not what you're selling people. That's not what people are buying your game for. And people, you should buy this game. It's early access, yeah, but there's plenty here to like already, I think. Cause I'm having a good time with it. Jim, are you having a good time with it?
I'm having a pretty great time of it, yes.
Are you playing it right
I'm
now?
I'm not at the moment, no. I was when we started, but I'm not now.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if that's even possible to be playing it and then talking to somebody else while playing it. I don't know if that's physically possible.
Well, once I get past this mission where I'm just sucking, I'm probably going to try to do that with a video or two, but right now I don't want to see I don't want people to see me flailing around like a rejected prom date. I don't know.
It's so interesting watching players play, you know, because like I've seen one player just like all these ships are attacking him and he's just backing up, you know, and they're just like hammering at him and then he dies, you know, and then I see this other player like just running for his life. You know, hiding behind asteroids. And he's like, oh my God. He's like running behind asteroids. I'm like, man, you're doing the exactly right thing. You know, when you get like five guys after you, that's what you got to do. You know, there's like, this is war. You know what I mean?
Use the environment.
The environment. Like if there's three ships attacking and there's this other player, he comes off the gate. First thing he does, he attacks a ship much bigger than he is, you know, and that thing shoots like six missiles at him. And I'm like, man, you shouldn't do that. But then I'm like, I never really taught this yet that you shouldn't do this. You know, I didn't explain that that's a bigger ship yet. And from the player's perspective, he's just seeing a ship, you know. So there's certain elements where it's my bad, certain elements where it's players. But it looks like they're having fun. And I'm having a lot of fun watching this. Oh, my God. I did not expect to, like, love watching players get killed left and right. Oh, man.
Are lots of players putting up videos? Or is there a way you can see how players are playing?
Here's the thing, okay? Here's a very interesting thing, or maybe not. But I don't know if anybody has really written about the game yet on, like, a media site, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, really wrote about it. Hey, here's Void Destroyer Early Access. Here's what it is, blah, blah, blah. You know? I haven't seen that yet at all. Totally zero, okay? But mm-hmm. I have seen a bunch of YouTube videos. I saw it on Space Game Junkie. You know, I saw the blurb, like, you're updating about the Kickstarter, about the early access, and I appreciate that, you know what I mean? But I never really saw, like, this whole feature or a paragraph about it or whatever.
There are a bunch of videos on Steam, too.
Coming up on YouTube. It's interesting because, you know, media sites, the big ones, are sort of this wall, you know, and sort of this they're sort of this gatekeeper, you know? And then YouTube is just like this Wild West, you know? It's like, man, we don't give a damn about anything. We're just going to make videos and hope somebody watches it. You know, please watch it. You know, that's what YouTube is. So I'm definitely seeing all these YouTube videos. I don't even mind that much. So I'm not getting really huge media coverage.
That's free advertising right there. That's what that is.
So I'm seeing players enjoy it. And it's actually even more honest to watch a video of it.
I looked at a couple of videos today. And what's interesting too in that is as you go through the development cycle in the alpha and people are putting up videos at different points in the life of the game. So you can actually very visibly see the game change. You know, like I watch a guy's video and he's in early alpha and the whole HUD interface in the ship is completely different.
That's my HUD. Oh my God. That's my art, my shame. Oh man, yep.
There's nothing.
I still have all these builds of the game from like iteration one. I still have all of them. So like 3 years worth of versions. I should like ship them off to some university to do like a giant doctorate on evolution of indie games or something.
You know, you could make a game where you start out as like a like the ship from Asteroids, like just a little triangle, and then you evolve. You evolve as you play the game to the point where you're like a really cool looking ship.
Yeah. It's kind of like whatchamacallit, Spore, kind of.
Yeah.
Mm. But like a meta game of Spore where you're the game evolving versus the organism.
Yeah, somebody made it was an RPG that was like that, and it was like a Zelda game, right? And you started out as like an old 8-bit looking game, and then you evolve to get 16-bit sprites, and then you got 3D, and it was kind of neat. I can't remember what the heck the name of it was, but...
Apparently it wasn't very good.
It was really short, right? It was just like an art piece.
Or like a more like an art piece kind
of
thing.
Exactly. But
demo sort of
but kind of an interesting thing. That was a Steam Greenlight deal too. But
oh, Greenlight.
Yeah.
How did that feel? Getting on Greenlight? How was that?
Here's the thing, when I got greenlit, I think it was with 48 other games.
Well yeah, they do it in big old batches. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so here's the thing, right? So I was super happy. But then I'm like, oh, man, okay, so now I have like 48 other games there. And before that, it was like a batch of 100 games. And now it's like you can get – before Greenlight was just about really the hot projects, you know, just like the really hot games that pop up and they're like just – they're just going to guarantee successes, you know. Like what could I use as an example? You know, like your days, your 7 Days to Die, for example. You know, that Kickstarter was huge. They get greenlit, you know. Games like Starbound, you know what I mean? Like huge, really popular games. They just got greenlit right away, a week after they jumped on it, you know. And those were the only games that were really getting greenlit. And then all of a sudden, like Steam is like, okay, no problem. Here's 100 games. Here's 50 games. Here's 50 games, you know. So it's kind of like a double-edged sword, right? Because, yeah, you're greenlit, but now you got all this other competition. It kind of sounds crappy for me to say, right? But I want the least competition there can be, right? From my perspective, as a gamer, I want the most games. But as a guy who makes games, I'm like, hey, I don't want to compete, right? I just want to win. So there's a lot more competition nowadays. So it's both good and bad. I don't know what's going to happen because there's so many games coming on Steam. It kind of worries me a little bit, you know? At the same time, the market is really huge. You know, there's more and more gamers every day.
Right.
Pretty much everybody now is playing some game on some device, whether it's a tablet or a PC. There's less PCs now, you know, less desktops. The thing right beside me that's making a whole lot of noise with all these fans in it, that's going away. You know, all these gamers have laptops now. So things are changing. It's a little scary, you know, especially now that I'm like almost ready, almost at the edge here, almost being done. Like, hey, guys, look, I'm ready. Hey, check it out. Right. And it's like, well, you know, we're kind of like moving on to this, you know, so it's kind of cool what you made. But, you know, everybody wants zombies and building houses, you know, and killing each other and DayZ. You know what I mean?
You should put zombies in your game.
I should. Well, all the ships are piloted by zombies, little known fact.
Oh, well, there you go.
Or it could be like The Sims, right? Like, you could say, well, morale's really down on our asteroid, so we need to build an entertainment complex.
Exactly. And a swimming pool, right?
We need new stripper poles for the bar. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, definitely I couldn't have done it any other way. I'm really happy to be greenlit. I'm kind of like looking at the game industry. I mean, it's getting so much more open, and the really big guys are always going to be successful. You know, the really big projects like Starbound and Star Citizens and Elites, you know, those guys are always going to be successful. Guys like me that are just like fighting for every little inch, you know, of daylight even, and trying to even fight back every sleepless or headaches from staring at screens, you know, we're always going to kind of struggling, and now probably even more so, you know?
Yeah.
But hey, I'm not complaining. Don't get me wrong. You know, it's really loving every step of the way here. Really happy to be where I am. Wish I could get a little more sleep, but I was telling my wife, I'm like, okay, honey, let me just get through this initial Steam release. Let me just get through this, and then I can relax. And then I'm like, oh, wait a minute. It's actually a million times worse in terms of workload. You know, you have all these problems to fix. Got to get them fixed, you know. Fix all these issues that players are incredibly good at finding. It's just incredible. It blows my mind. You know, stay ahead of that stuff. Put out new content to keep everybody interested. You know, and to prove to them that, hey, this guy's for real. You know, he's not going to abandon the project like those other games that broke people's hearts. You know, it's incredible because there's all these games that broke people's hearts. We can all name them, you know. trying to fight that, you know, trying to fight the craziness. So, you know, that's how it goes. It's just part of the game.
This sounds like something that even when you declare it released, like 1.0, this sounds like something you'll still be like tinkering with and adding to and stuff like that. This does not sound like something that'll be done once 1.0 shoves out the door.
Yeah, I have plans for like the rest of my life, you know.
Well, good.
I think this thing could do that. You know, it's just that at this point where, like right now, and this is not going to stay like this forever. I'm not going to be in this crazy frantic state, as I call it, forever.
Sure.
You know, probably in a week or two, things are going to kind of go back to normal, more or less, you know. And by that, I mean like not staying up till past midnight and just working on the game nonstop. But at this kind of a crazy frantic state right now, I don't know how long I can keep this up, working essentially two jobs. But it's just what you have to do, you know. There's just no other way. I don't see any other way to do this.
So had you programmed stuff before? Had you developed any like small games and then decided to?
Not really.
So this was not like really. I'm going to learn 3D game programming on this project.
Yeah, I'm still learning that, by the way. In high school, in my physics class, I made a tank game on my TI-82 calculator, you know, like a two-dimensional ASCII tank game. Then I got a C in the physics class. So I don't know if it was worth it exactly. But yeah, I've always loved programming, you know, because with programming, you tell the computer what to do. And it doesn't argue, you know. And how often can you do something like that where you tell something what to do and it doesn't argue with you at all? Right? Almost never, right? With programming, that's what you get, right? So that's great. Of course, it does exactly what you tell it, including bugs and crash and all these wrong things, right? Eventually, you learn how to tell it the right thing or trial by error, whatever. So that's the great thing about programming. And then all of a sudden, these things are shooting back at you, which is interesting when you think about it, right? You make a game, what's the first thing you do? You make a thing that shoots back at you. You know, this is humanity, right? It's not a I love you, right? My game didn't tell me that it loves me. The first thing it didn't do, like, I love you, Papa, right? It said, no, I kill you, you know? They shoot at you with these red rectangles that I called bullets at the time, you know? So it's really an interesting reflection of humanity, the games we play, right? They're all about murdering everything else around us, apparently, or saving things from getting murdered or zombies.
That's how we have fun.
Still in us, you know, we're crazy savages, right?
Exactly.
On the edge of civilized society, on the edge of total collapse.
Well, that seems like a good place to wrap it up, I think. We've been talking for like, what, an hour and a half? Oh, gosh. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, I got to go play some Void Destroyer.
Yeah, I'm going to go to sleep. But you should too, Paul. But Paul, I want to thank you for again joining us and talking about your game. Folks, again, Void Destroyer is now on Steam as part of Early Access, which means it's not done. It says all over the game page and all that it's Early Access. It's not done, so don't expect a finished game. I keep hearing about this, like people buy Early Access games expecting finished games. It's not finished. That's why it says Early Access. There's all these blue things on the page telling you it's not done. Ugh.
But you know what's interesting? Every early access game has like these bunch of guys that jump on it and say like, I would buy it if it wasn't early access. Like it's like clockwork. And then they debate the whole system back and forth.
Yeah.
It's a legitimate thing. Like every new game is that those guys.
I would say that's a more fair argument because some people like they want to wait until it's done, you know, and that's not unfair.
No, it's fine.
But some people, like, I've seen people like, this game isn't finished. And blah, blah, blah. Like, it said it's right there, right there. it's not done. It's set right there. God damn it. 1/3 is finished, right there.
But people love these debates.
Well, it's the thing. We're being given a level of access these past couple years, thanks to Kickstarter and stuff, that we've never gotten before, like, ever. And I think people don't know what to exactly do with it yet. People are confused by it. I think, like, what do I do with this? Do I play it? Do I not?
I've been asking for this for a long time. You know, we've always been like, I want to play it now. I want to play it now. And myself included, you know?
Yeah, but then you get to see what playing an unfinished game is like.
And it's not, it's often not pretty.
It's not pretty.
But there's some unique stuff, you know? You get to experience crazy raw and progress stuff.
Yeah, you get to be part of the conversation. And I totally understand that. But just, folks, it's early access. Yeah. It's not
done. Well, there's the trade-off, too. I've heard various people express that they kind of avoid early access stuff because they don't want to get burnt out on it. You know, it's like, well, I put 80 hours into it and I'm kind of over it, and then it's done, so I never really get to enjoy the final version. Like whatever, so I can see there's a valid thing there, but I'm more like the kind of person that's just like, I would like to dabble with this now and like not put, you know, like hundreds of hours in, but just kind of come by and like taste it a little bit and see what's going on and then revisit it periodically just to see what's getting refined in it. But it's nice to be part of the conversation too, right? Because if you see things that you could have an influence on as part of that community, then you can help improve the final product as it will be whenever you do finally sit down and, you know, commit to it. So.
Exactly. But yeah, folks, Void Destroyer is pretty great and it's just going to get better. So check it out. Paul, again, thank you so much for joining us. Jim,
thank you guys.
Thank you for being an awesome co-host and asking lots of great questions.
Yeah, we're going to have to get this up on Twitch once I know how to play it in a non-embarrassing manner.
Exactly. That's exactly the reason I haven't done a video, because I'm an idiot right now. And I'm like, I don't want people to see me.
I can hop on board and like criticize you and backseat driver.
We should do like a Google Hangout, because there's not the delay there that there is on Twitch. We should do that at some night. And like, you guys can be like, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Oh, my God. And I think that'd be funny. So we should arrange that once we're done. So stay tuned for that, folks. But, yeah, have a good night, everybody. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Take it easy.
Good night.
Let's have some music in here, Boiler. Sure thing. Guys, you're